Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
Well, we are in our second week of this Jonah series, and I've been really praying and hoping that this morning would be really impactful. I really have. I've been preparing for about a month and a bit, and I've been praying for this series, too, that we would find something that we could maybe reshape our thinking, or maybe even just think about something differently, or have a different view on this for this series. And I've been really praying for that for this morning, that we could all walk away with that. But there's something that I've been looking forward to the most out of this whole series. It's the fact that Ron, our lead guy, he's been gone for 2 weeks, and we have full reign now with him gone. That's what I have been looking forward to. Anthony and I, when we're up here, I try getting Anthony to poke at him, really get at him while he's gone, because I was thinking, we got 2 weeks to like kind of figure out what we're going to do and say sorry while he's gone. And Anthony wasn't having any of it. He wouldn't do anything in his announcements or his message last week. And I was like, come on, man, this is your chance. So I'm going to take the chance. Yeah, this is my chance. If you don't know the relationship between Ron and I, he's my dad. So I have a lot of dirt on him. yeah, I actually don't have full reign this morning. I really don't. They've slapped me on the wrist and said, behave. And no, but we have this great relationship, Ron and I, but when I was a teenager and in my adolescence years, I made free reign for myself. I really did. I actually ran away from home probably 4 or 5 times. Yeah, raise your hand if you did that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I took the dog one time because I thought if they're not going to miss me, they're going to miss the dog. And it worked. So, yeah, I remember yelling, I'm never coming home. And like 30 minutes later, I'm knocking at the door. Can I come in? And they always let me in. I actually hid in the backyard one time and was trying to see if they missed me. They were playing games, and they didn't even think that I was around anymore. It was crazy. But yeah, all kidding aside, that was my riff at Ron. It was more at me, I guess. But yeah, we have a great relationship, and I'm excited for this morning. Now I have forgiveness next week when he gets back. So last week, we kicked off in Jonah chapter 1, and we looked at this word compassion and the action of compassion. And what I loved about last week was we are actually super compassionate. We really are. And that's with our thoughts. We are actually super compassionate with our thoughts, not always with our actions. And last week, I loved how we heard that we can be so compassionate with our thoughts, but the thing is, we can only do so much with our thoughts. They can only go so far. They can't really resolve the situation. I loved hearing that. It was a great reminder of me. We got asked last week, what did you do last week that was compassionate? I love that. So week one, we were brought to a story where Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, where this city was just oozing with sin from the people, the ground, everything. They were just rebelling from God. And God calls this guy named Jonah, who's a prophet in the Old Testament, to go to this city and show compassion to them, to show love to them. And what I love last week was Jonah was called to this mess, and it was related to us very clearly. Many of us have a mess that we're called to. We're called to a mess. Many of us have that, like Jonah. Go and show compassion to the mess. If you were with us, you found out that God called Jonah to this mess, and he didn't have any part of creating that mess in Nineveh. He had no partake in creating the sin that was oozing from that area. And God calls him. He says, get up, arise, and go. But we find out so very clearly and quickly that Jonah gets up, packs his things, and goes the absolute opposite direction from Nineveh. He goes the opposite direction, goes to a harbor, buys a ticket for a boat, and sets sail with all these sailor dudes. And he gets himself into a pretty crazy mess himself, an open water storm. And these sailor guys, they're probably, I envision them. I envision them. They're these tatted up, stick and poke tattoo guys that probably aren't afraid of the waters. They probably don't do a lot of praying to their gods. And in the story, they are praying to their gods because of this storm. This storm is so massive and big that they're rowing and rowing and praying. Who brought this upon us? What did we do? And Jonah is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, probably on a sack of potatoes or a bag of rice. They're praying to their gods, what did we do to do this? And they're fed up. They get fed up and they're like, we're going to wake up Sleeping Beauty, who is Jonah, and we're going to draw straws because someone's God is mad at us and we need to figure this out. So they draw straws, and guess who draws the short straw? Jonah. Jonah does. And he knows he's the reason for this mess. And he says to them, throw me into the water to my death. That's how we can get rid of this storm. Get rid of me. But I love this part of the story. These guys, these sailor guys, they're like, no. We want to give you sympathy. We'll keep rowing. We'll find you land. We're going to get you back to your God that you worship. We're going to get you back. They keep rowing and rowing and rowing. And then they get fed up. And you know what? They're like, Jonah, we're going to have to toss you, dude. And I just envision it. Like, Jonah's like, yes, throw me overboard. I'm done. And I can envision it like they just grab his hands and feet like you do to a kid into a pool. 1, 2, 3, and they kind of get a lot of pain from it. I don't know. I love throwing kids into pools because I got thrown in a lot when I was a kid. So I just love that vision of they probably just tossed them overboard. Throw me to my death, he says. And he hits the water. And the Bible says, a great fish swallowed him for 3 days and 3 nights. What I want to do today is start our conversation by asking you a few questions. 2 questions. But first, we've been challenged in this series to ask better questions in this series about this story of Jonah. Many of you might see the roadblock, the big fish. Did it really happen? Can God create a fish to swallow a man? Did he really survive 3 days and 3 nights? That's a massive roadblock for many of us. It was for me as a kid and as a teenager. Could God do this? But we've been challenged to ask better questions, and that's what I want to do today. I want to take on that challenge. So 2 questions, because I believe these questions are going to help us explore and grow a little bit more in our faith. Like I said earlier, I really hope we can take something different and reshape our mind of thinking, or maybe see something different today. So 1, do you find when we move towards a mess, we start off with great intentions? Maybe you're the type of person that is all hands on deck, rally up the troops, we're going to get this done. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the type of person that realizes you've been called into this place for a reason. And you're like, God, I'm relying on you, on your strength, on your will, on your guidance. You've put me in this for a reason, so I'm going to rely on you, God. Maybe that's you. When we move into a mess, do we start off with great intentions? 2, do you find when the mess begins to drag on, we lose all momentum? When it begins to drag on, you start asking the question, God, I moved, where are you? You look around, and this pit looks probably like your rock bottom, your belly of the fish moment. You feel insufficient. You feel trapped. It's dark. God, I moved, where are you in this? Maybe you're asking that question. What I want to propose today is what might happen if we sent our message in a bottle before we send off our SOS call to God. What might happen if we send our message in the bottle before we set off the flares to the SOS call? I want to take you to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is actually in the belly of the fish, and he has these great 10 verses. I don't have time to read all of them, but he has these great 10 verses that he's praying to God. And he says this in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And he answered me, I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord, you heard me. Jonah's in his rock bottom, literal belly of the fish, pleading to God, I need you, and God hears him. I want to ask you, why do we have to wait to hit rock bottom? Why do we need to be in the belly of the fish crying out to God, I need you? Why? I believe there's a few things that hold us back from that crying out to God. And I feel and believe some of the reasons are because the guilt and the shame just builds up so big. The shame of knowing you've made the mess bigger when you intended to clean it up. Or maybe the guilt of veering off the path that God had called you to, and you're like, I'm on a different path, and I feel guilty, God. Maybe that's holding you back. Or maybe it's more than the guilt and the shame. It's the pride. You ever heard the saying, I got myself into it, I'm going to get myself out? Maybe it's the pride that takes over of like, I fixed it. I can do it. I got out of it. I pushed through. We love taking ownership of what we have done. Maybe it's the pride holding you back, calling out to God. The next one, actually, to be honest, resonates with me the most. It's the words, I failed. I get this visual of me standing in the mirror and I get a doink on the forehead, a big stamp saying, I failed. Maybe you have that same feeling when you walk by the mirror and you're like, I failed my wife, I failed my teammates, the people inside the mess, I failed. And they become so crippling. The problem with the guilt, shame, and pride and the words, I failed, it can really cloud your judgment of when you need to call out to God. It really can. It can block out the emotion that you can tap into to call out to God. The roadblocks. Jonah verse 3, in chapter 2 he goes, the mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath the stormy waves. Maybe that is true for you right now. The mighty waters engulfed me and I was trapped in your stormy waves. Take a second and think about that. Maybe many of us, maybe all of us know exactly what that feels like in life. Maybe it's feeling so real right now, and the weight of the crashing tasks, the crashing lists, you just don't know how you're going to get out from beneath the storm. But what I find so fascinating with all this and all this spiraling out of control that goes around in life for all of us and many of us is God, the one who created us, the one who knit each and every single one of us in our mother's womb, he sees that and he goes, I want to work with that. I want to work with that guilt and that shame and that brokenness and the limitations. I want to work with that because he wants to help us see that it's not a destination. It's just a season. It's not a destination. It's just a season of life. Earlier in the conversation, I asked what might happen or what would it look like to send that bottle, the message in the bottle before the SOS. And as I was studying and writing this, I was realizing something. I'm just like, how do we know we need God? How do I know when I need God? And then I realized something. We need God always. We need him always. Always. I want to take you to a verse in John 15:5. It's Jesus talking to a bunch of people. So we're fast forwarding. Jonah's gone, and this is Jesus now talking about himself. And he says in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I love these words. I love the fact that Jesus is reminding us and telling us that we need him always. That's why he came to this earth, walked this earth with us, and was in relationship with us, and went to a cross to pay for our guilt, our shame, our pride, our anxiety, our stress of the mess. He crushed that on the cross, and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We need to learn how to cling to that vine. Cling to that vine. To grow in relationship with him. To grow through the messes. To grow with God and have life to the full. See, I believe many of us, we have this moment when we go through times of life where many of us maybe think, oh, I could call out to God in this right now. And then if you're like me, you just think about the next thing of how you could get out of the situation. And I think there's a trick here. Many of us have this conscious moment, quick moment of, I could call out to God, but I think we need to take that conscious, quick moment and turn into a mentality every single day when we wake up. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remember that we are the branches that need to strap to that vine so we can get through and we can produce fruit through life. That mentality of, God, I need you always. And what's so interesting when we're moving through the spiraling out of control, God sees this when we don't rely on him. And most of us have that quick conscious moment, and then we forget about calling out to him. And he sees that, and he goes, I still want to work with the brokenness. I still want to give them the second chance. I still see that, and I want the relationship with them no matter what. He says, I see that hot mess. I see that hot mess, and I want to walk. I want to talk. I want to guide every single one of them through it all. The job loss, the financial debt, the loss of a loved one. He sees the limits, the brokenness. He says, I want to walk with every single one of them. Some of you may be wondering, how do I get God to hear me? What do I do? How do I know I'm doing it right? How do I get him to guide me and walk me through life and teach me? How do I rely on his strength? And I think we have this massive, perfect description, the perfect example of what we need to do. This perfect example comes from Jonah chapter 2 of praying to God. Prayer. That's what I think it is. And I thought of this when I saw this. I was like, just pray, Dave. Like, do we really need to talk about that? Just pray? Yes, because when I read this, there's something so powerful about the words Jonah uses in this prayer in chapter 2. Verses 1 to 10 is incredible. I encourage you to go read it. And I found these three things that stood out incredibly through this prayer. Three things. And they all have the same beginning of a letter, I know, to keep it easy to remember. And it is precision, passion, and prayer. Precision, passion, and prayer stood out to me the most through Jonah's prayer. And I believe that these three P's can help us understand how to approach God of second chances. I really do. Number one, precision. There's something interesting about this word, precision, because Jonah isn't just sending off this quick shotgun prayer to God. No, he's not. He's using these powerful, precise words within his prayer. Here's just a few. Verse 3, we've already looked at this one. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Verse 5, I sank down beneath the waves. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. Verse 6, I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates lock shut forever. Lots of people, when they hear this story of Jonah, they believe he hit the water, splash, and the fish just swallowed him up. No. Jonah's using these powerful, precise words to show us and allow us to see that he was scared of death. He was scared of what was happening. Like, seaweed was drowning him. It was keeping him underneath the waters. He's using powerful, descriptive words. You could probably say he might have been seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here. Precision with his prayer. So why in times of need and worry do we shoot off these shotgun prayers to God? These quick, thank you for this, thank you for that, oh, and if you could help me with this, that would be great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I see this prayer that we have, it can be used as a weapon. We can use it as a weapon through life, being precise with God. Going through times of anxiety and stress, using words and like, God, please help me through the darkness that is wrapping around my heart that I cannot get up every single day. Crush the barriers in my life, God. Or maybe it's just you're going through a breakup, or you see someone going through a divorce, and you need to pray the precise prayer of protect their hearts, Lord, while they walk through times of darkness. And God, just allow them to see the love and calm and patience that you have in your relationship with them. Use the precise, passionate, precise prayer weapon that we have. Now, I believe when being precise through Jonah's prayer, it kind of leads to our second one. It's that passion. When you're being precise, you can pray with passion. Jonah gives us this beautiful picture of what a passionate prayer looks like. Verse 2, I cried out in my great trouble. He's showing us that we can be passionate in the situation we are in. We can be down on our knees, not knowing where to go. We can cry, we can sing, we can write with passion. We can give 100% in this relationship. And as I was preparing this, I was wondering about, and I found it pretty eye-opening. When it comes to our relationship with God, why does it seem so distant sometimes? Why does it seem so distant? Why doesn't it feel like we have all the passion in the world for him and giving it all to him? I find that we give so much trust and hope and passion to our earthly relationships. And I'll drop anything for anyone to go for a coffee date that I feel like can help me and I can help them. And I put all this hope and trust and then it doesn't work out. And I'm like, why didn't it work? Why do we put so much effort into earthly relationships? We have to, I understand that. But why do we put so much trust on others? I feel like we give God the cold shoulder sometimes. It's like that conversation when you walk by in the hall. Hey, how's it going? You just get the good, and then you keep moving. Jonah is praying with so much passion. I cried out in my trouble. It's saying, I'm done giving you the cold shoulder, God. I'm down to give you the 100% passionate relationship that you want to have with me every single day. I'm going to remember that. Maybe today we need to consider how much am I giving to God? How much passion do I give him? Is it all him or is it just, what is it? I feel like number three, the word posture is so good for the passion and precision. This third P, posture. We have to remember Jonah's in the belly of the fish here while he's praying this prayer. Like, imagine yourself right now in a massive fish. Like, you are probably not comfortable, are you, at all? No. So he doesn't have to be in a good mood at all, but he gets in this new posture, in this new position, and he prays a prayer of hope. Of hope. Jonah chapter 2, verse 6. He says, I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. He goes on to say in verse 9 and 10, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. And verse 10, he says, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah onto the beach. Hope. Posture of hope. He's in this mess. He's at rock bottom. He's praying with all this thankfulness and the deliverance he will receive from God because he's not even out of the situation and he is praying for hope. We need to take on this posture like Jonah. When we become hopeful, we become faithful in what God can do. When we become hopeful, we become faithful in what God will do for us. In order to reshape your situation, you don't complain about your situation. You have to figure out how to get yourself into a new posture to thrive to the finish line. To thrive to the finish line, that new posture of hope. Jonah does this, and this is what we need to do every single day when we walk through the storms of life. He starts thanking God for the future before he's even out of the situation, because he knows it won't last forever if we have hope in God and rely in God. You know what I love about the painful situations? When they're the most messy, distraught, when it's dirty, that's where we find the most growth. I love that. We have to see that there is pain and God is shaping us. He's shaping our faith. He's shaping our thoughts. And he wants to shape every single one of us in relationship. And to have that shaping is to have that posture of hope. So I want to ask you today, where in your life do you need to gain the right posture back? Where you need to have a passionate relationship with God through prayer, or where you need to pray precise words of what is actually going on? Because when we have crazy needs and crazy worries, we need to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because like Jonah, if we have hope, we can have hope that the mess won't last forever. We talked about the bottle that you could probably send out to God. Maybe your prayer within that message of the bottle needs to say, God, I'm done fighting the mess. God, I'm done with the guilt and the shame and the pride that's just blocking me from you. God, I'm done fighting on my own strength. God, I'm realizing you are the only one that can deliver me through this. I now realize you are by my side. Listen to this song. I invite you to stand with me. Many of us, as I was standing there, I was thinking, we already have the bottle full of Christ the God. Many of us have probably put it on the shelf and it's collecting dust, or maybe you've buried it in the sand, but many of us have already written these cries out to God. And I want to challenge you this week, and challenge myself as well, that we would open up that bottle and spill out that prayer to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for this weapon that we have, this prayer that we can have, this conversation that we can have with you. It's incredible to know the love that you have for us and that you want us to see. God, I want to pray for everyone in this room that when we walk away from this area, in this space, that we can realize that that bottle does not have to be full and locked shut tight forever. That we can spill out everything in our heart to you, because you want to walk and you want to talk and you want to guide us through it all. This is all in your Son's name. Amen. Have a great week.